It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The space is under a foot of snow right now, so no one's spending any time there. But that doesn't mean the Dan Kiley designed grove of chestnut trees is out of the spotlight. The Marcus Center recently unveiled renovation plans for their entire complex, plans which included the destruction of the grove, which is along the east side of the Milwaukee River adjacent to the Peck Pavilion.
Public reaction was swift and strongly opposed to the destruction of the grove, so much so that Milwaukee's Historic Preservation Commission voted to consider the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts and its grounds for historic designation. That effectively puts a halt to any restoration work, including destroying the grove, until a decision is made about historic status.
Mary Louise Schumacher is the former art and architecture critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and her last feature for the paper was about the grove of trees and its importance. She joins us now to talk about the space and offers some context for how we got to this point.
In December, the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts unveiled its plan to redevelop its entire site. And there's a long list of things that they have planned to do, including modifying the building by Harry Weiss. They plan to put a new atrium and terrace on the river side of the building. They plan to kind of punch a hole in its south face and put in a glassy window. And in the exterior, where the Dan Kiley landscape architecture exists, they plan to kind of put in what they call a great lawn so that people can come and kind of participate in free performance and music events. And so what that means, in terms of the grove anyway, is really destroying a really important seminal work of landscape architecture. They're going to dig it up. They're going to bring the ground up to grade, replant some trees so that, you know, people will be able to kind of picnic and take in the performances in the Peck Pavilion outside. So that's basically the plan.
So why did they feel that the grove wasn't serving that purpose already?
Right. Well, I think if they do change these plans, there will be more of a direct line of sight from the grass to the Peck Pavilion. But in my opinion, you know, there were years when that Peck Pavilion was programmed really well during the years of Rainbow Summer, for example, which was a summer lunchtime music series. And people were all over the grounds and they were spilling into the Kiley Grove and really enjoying kind of being within earshot of those performances. So I don't know why the Marcus Center can't sort of meet some of its aspirations and programmatic goals without destroying this grove. And I think there are a lot of people in the city of Milwaukee who would agree with that.
Certainly the feedback that I've seen, most people seem to say, keep the trees. Why are we cutting down trees? So why do you think the Marcus Center is pushing back on that? Is it got to do with the overall design of what they want, this aspiration that they want it to turn into?
Well, I mean, the Marcus Center has a very real problem. So the Symphony Orchestra is leaving. They're decamping for their own theater on Wisconsin Avenue, right? And so that leaves a big hole in the Marcus Center's program and in their budget. And they are also, just by the nature of what they do, kind of in need of growing new, younger audiences. And so I think this plan, and I talked to them about this at some length, so I'm not just guessing here, is really about kind of building some excitement through free events outside, by creating kind of transparency in the building that allows people to see that, yes, there are people here, things are happening here.
And it's not just at night.
Exactly, right. Yeah. So they'll see people inside the building, they'll see that there are events going on, and that will build some interest in the generating revenue art that's happening inside the Marcus Center. So it's really...
But there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, yeah. But there sort of is, because it's marketing by architecture. You know, like, I'm not sure that changing the building and the grounds is the solution to not having enough audience for the art you're producing. The problem might be the art you're producing or showing. It might be your program itself. That might be the better place to start. And I go back to that example with Rainbow Summer. When that was programmed really well, the site was incredibly vibrant. And the biggest complaint the Marcus Center has now is that it feels underutilized. People don't like it there. But it has not been programmed well for years. And I think that has an impact on the overall situation.
We'll talk a little bit about the building itself. It's an example of brutalist architecture, which I think a lot of people misunderstand that name, and that means that it's not very good.
Yeah. Well, And to be candid, I do not consider that to be a brutalist building.
Okay.
I know that the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts has been calling it that, and I don't think that's intentional, but it does sort of invite a certain disdain, because brutalism is a type of architecture people love to hate, you know? But brutalism is more about a building that is about its function. You know, it shows its materials, it shows its purpose kind of on its sleeve. Whereas this building is really a classic modernist building. It's all about its lines and its volumes and its planes. You know, it's not a raw concrete, rugged building. It's a beautiful, very beautiful modernist building by Harry Weese. And I do feel like, you know, Harry Weese did some brutalist architecture, some of which was amazing and some of which was terrible. You know, he's got a kind of uneven legacy. But I think hanging that tag on this building is sort of strategic. It just invites the public to like the place less. And it's unfortunate to be so dismissive of what is really a pretty great building, frankly.
You've got a pretty great building and a pretty great set of mature chestnut trees that were handpicked. And I think that's part of what, at least what I'm hearing, is people are like, wait, I remember when that went in.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a nostalgia effect there. I know the Historical Society has, what have they done? They voted to do what? I mean, things are kind of on hiatus right now, right?
Right. So the Historic Preservation Commission has voted to give the site, including the building and the grounds, historic designation on a temporary basis. And basically, that just pushes the pause button on everything. It gives more time for consideration and discussion. The Historic Commission will now consider whether it deserves permanent historic designation. And in the meantime, no construction is going to happen down at the site. So if they do get permanent designation and they have 180 days to decide, and the Common Council has to approve that, the Marcus Center will have to go to the Historic Preservation Commission if they want to make any significant modifications to the exterior of the site, which means the building or the grounds. And the only thing that can override that is a vote of the Common Council. So that could put a real damper on the plans, for sure.
Has there been cases elsewhere, whether here in Milwaukee or anywhere else in the U.S., where landscape architecture has been given that kind of historic preservation designation?
What I can tell you is there are other Dan Kiley sites that are reaching, you know, kind of like the mid-century mark. They've been around for a while. The plants and trees are reaching a certain state of maturity, and there something has to happen. So there's the Ford Foundation in New York. Recently, the site of the St. Louis Arch, which was a really important collaboration and kind of a breakout moment for Kiley in a collaboration with Eero Saarinen, that has been wonderfully restored. So there are great examples of these kinds of sites being looked at about this time and having restoration happen. That might mean a new plan for the trees. It might mean completely replanting the trees and coming up with strategies for kind of a long-term care for it.
So what do you think? I mean, do you think that would be a good solution here? Mm-hmm. And if so, what do you think the Marcus Center would feel about doing that kind of restoration?
Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of sympathy for the Marcus Center's needs. And Jim Shields is one of the smartest architects in the city. I mean, he's a super smart guy, and I'm very sympathetic to what's going on there. But I don't think it's really that difficult to reconsider their plan, get everything that they need, all of the excitement and change that they're looking for, and still kind of retain the value, the design integrity of what is a really important work of art in this city. You know, that if an arts center can't kind of recognize that, that's very disheartening. And I really hope that they can kind of just back up and see the reaction that they're getting publicly and figure out how to get what they need with a sort of slightly more subtle approach.
Well, that 180 days should give them time to do that too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think would be good. Again, the public support for the Grove seems to be much stronger than, oh, no, tear it down.
Yeah. Bonnie, I will tell you, I wrote a column about this for the paper. It ran on the front page. I honestly do not remember getting so much reaction from readers in years. And 99.9% of it was all in favor of keeping that grove in Milwaukee. And what was really interesting to me about the response was not just the volume of what I was receiving through DMs and emails and text messages, but the nature of the stories that people told. I mean, there were a number of people who told me they went on their first date with their spouse in the grove. There were people who talked about going there with their children and now going there with their grandchildren. Like, these are people who, you know, you don't need to explain kind of the art history of it, or they don't need any argument. They understand inherently that this is a remarkable space in the city that they have a real attachment to. And it was pretty overwhelming to see. I don't question that there are a lot of people who really care about that place.
Why are people reacting so strongly to this grove of chestnut trees? I mean, what makes it so spectacular that people are like, this outpouring of support is coming for a grove of trees?
Yeah. I mean, when I was writing about this, I sat there staring at a blank screen for a really long time, trying to figure out how to describe why, you know, these very simple ingredients, you know, a slightly sunken space, a few lines of trees and a couple of chairs to sit in was so remarkable. You know, how do you even begin to describe that? And, you know, I thought about C.S. Lewis and the wardrobe and pushing through the coats into this, you know, magical wood. And I do feel like you cross the edge of this space and you feel like you're in the middle of the city, but also sheltered away from it in this very kind of otherly place. And the ingredients are so simple, but that's the beauty of Kiley. He's a classical modernist. He uses these very subtle, minimalist kind of cues to create this, I don't know, coherence that is really kind of a delight when you step into it. It's just so otherly.
The thing that I love about it is that, like you say, it's so simple. You'd think to feel that sort of enclosure and safety that you feel there, you need more.
Yeah, right.
But you don't.
You don't. It's just so simple. And the example I used in my column, which I can't even believe, I happened to be watching the latest Mission Impossible film. But there's this really key moment in the latest film with Tom Cruise where he just takes a couple of steps into a formal garden in Paris, and he goes from this bright sun into this area where it's just washed in warm green and kind of this intimate space. And it's this lovely little turning point in the story, kind of a romantic turning point in the story. And I was just thinking about, like, this is Mission Impossible. Like, nothing is exploding. No one's hanging off the edge of a jet plane. But it's this drama is all about just stepping inside a grove of trees, you know.
In the middle of a city.
In the middle of a city. And it's the very grove of trees that inspired Dan Kiley to create our grove of trees at the Marcus Center.
Wow.
So it's literally a direct line. And that is, it is really hard to put into words. You have to kind of feel it in your body and go there and just experience it. And people who do are the people who've been writing to us and sending these emails and who just get it.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think that the fact that these architects came forward and filed this application is a really good thing. That really does mean that the public will have more of a chance to be heard on this, and the Marcus Center will have to listen to that. And I do think that a solution for them is within their reach. They can achieve their goals without ruining this beautiful oasis in our city.
Both things can happen.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And
I believe that.
To me, it's almost a metaphor of finding common ground where you don't think it is. Mm-hmm. And we're in such need of that right now around the world, of finding ways to get all of our needs, or at least some of them, met, you know, that it's not all one or all the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what citizenship looks like, you know, when people come forward and they make their points of view known. And I know that just looking at the record file at the Historic Preservation Commission, like, they got a whole lot of email, too, you know. So people are participating and engaged in this. And, you know, I think the Marcus Center really wants to be engaged in this city. They really want to grow their audiences. And I think that they will see that engaging in this discussion and kind of recognizing that they've been overruled a little bit is a good thing.
Well, and I think they want to be good citizens, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And as you say, being part of that collective conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I am so glad I finally got you to sitting here. I hope it's not the first and last time. Let's hope that we get to do this
again. Yeah, it was really fun.
Mary Louise Schumacher, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Mary Louise Schumacher is the former art and architecture critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You'll find more coverage of the planned renovations to the Marcus Center at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.